We have a special treat for you for the last set. So we believe as a church that the Great Commission, which says that we'll go into all the world and make disciples, but it's not only the Great Commission being go out and talk to people about Jesus and let people who don't know about Jesus what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's also those who are following Jesus to show that to create pathways for them to be able to experience the gospel and work in to be disciple. And so with that, this week and next week, and we started last week, we're having guys that feel called to the ministry, bring the word. And so there's a few things that I want to point out to that. One, where they've all been given the assignment to preach a letter from Psalm 119, and they have done a fantastic job at doing so, of picking that letter and being diligent to study. And we're excited to introduce the next speaker in a second. But what I want to do is point in your bulletin, this is your chance for those that are preaching to judge them harshly, unanimously. So, and so what you have in your bulletin is, it talks about William Price, who I'll introduce in a second, is going to be preaching the word today. The scripture's right there. What I would ask, and you guys did a phenomenal job last week, is if you could give input to the sermon to help us and to help them develop their gift of preaching. And so that's what it's for. So it's not just critiques, it's also compliments. Keep that in mind. Now, Psalm 119, which is crazy, as we studied Psalm 119 together, we saw that it's written most likely over an age of time. And so last week we had Rick bring the word. He did a phenomenal job last week. Super proud of him for that. And amen. And then and this morning, with seeing the kind of different age gaps that are coming in to preach the word, I'd like to introduce to you William Price. Let's give him a hand.
Excited?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. If you would, if you're comfortable in keeping with our tradition, to raise your hand forward as affirmation of a prayer as we pray for William. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're just so excited about William bringing the word and being able to move forward in ministry. And what an opportunity to be able to hear from him this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to him as I already know you have, and that you would speak through him this morning to your people, that we may hear your word to your glory and our joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for William.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is an honor to be with you here today. It's a blessing. I'm excited, a little nervous, but I think that's quite normal. Before I begin, I'd like to say a couple things. First, of course, I'd like to thank Pastor Bobby for giving me this incredible opportunity to prepare a sermon and come up before you and to give it and really move forward with what I think God's calling me in my life. Also, I'd like to say that this morning didn't go as planned. Yesterday, Pastor Bobby recommended, you know, get up early, go to a place that you feel is kind of a place where you connect with God and pray and get in tune, and set my alarm early this morning. I turned it off in my sleep. I woke up an hour later with a scratchy throat and a stuffy nose. Said, well, this is what you give me, God, and I'll work with it. And from there, things kept going weird. Things didn't go right. But I'm here. I'm dressed. I've got my sermon here on the pulpit right here. So let's just hope it goes well. Now, a lot of you know who I am. But for those of you who don't, I want to talk a little bit about why I'm here and why I'm preaching today. Now, what I'm doing right now in my life is I'm a college student. I'm going to City College. I have plans to transfer to UCSB in engineering. And I've been a member of this church for about 10 years, so this church really means a lot to me. In fact, in high school, when I was, I want to say around 14 or 15, I wasn't taking my faith very seriously. It was actually in a Friday night meeting right in this sanctuary hall right here where God put it on my heart and said, hey, you know, you need to take this seriously. This is important. This is your life we're talking about. So after that, in high school, I started praying and spending time with God, reading the Bible and thinking about what God wanted me to do with my life. And at that time, I felt heavily called to do something in the ministry. At that time, I didn't know what God wanted me to do in the ministry. I didn't know whether he wanted me to be a preacher, whether he wanted me to work with youth. I'm still not 100% sure. But what I do know is as I grew older, and went to college, I got a girlfriend, I got a part-time job, and I forgot what God put on my heart. The cares and the burdens and the worries of life, the essays, the term papers, it became kind of a block between me and God. It was like a cloud over my head. I know the last few weeks we've been having really cloudy weather. Finally, it's sunny again, yay. But that's kind of what it felt like. I knew God was up there, but there's this cloud over my head. Now, one thing that I want to ask you guys today is, have any of you ever felt like you've had a cloud over your head? That there's something between you and God? Now, keep that in mind, so I'm going to bring that up again later in the sermon. But what I'd like to do right now is introduce the title of my sermon. And, there it is. It's okay. There it is. And I'd like to also read the text. It's Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88. Go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. If you want to use the Pew Bibles, it's in page 514. And if you don't have a Bible, feel more than welcome to take those home with you. Take them home, use them, and be blessed by them. And when you go ahead and when you find Psalm 119, go ahead and stand with me and join me for the reading of God's Word. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. That is the word of the Lord. You may be seated and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a beautiful sunny day today, God. What a blessing it is to wake up every morning and know that you're in control of the day. Even if we don't feel like it, you're still in control. I want to commit this sermon into your hands and commit the service to you, Lord. I pray that you would just use me, God. I pray that I would not get in your way today, that you would do what you would like to do, and that you'd speak to the congregation today. And thank you so much for this church. Thank you for what this church has meant to me throughout the years. And I pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. So, looking at this scripture, and one of the reasons I actually chose it was when I read it, you can definitely tell, like, the psalmist feels like he's got a cloud over his head, right? And a pretty bad one at that. But what we know, and Pastor Bobby mentioned this, is that it could have been either Ezra or David that wrote this passage of the Psalms, is that both of them were godly men called by God to do great things. And throughout their life, as they did what God called them to do, they ran into huge amounts of opposition. They struggled. And what we can do when we look at this this psalm is we may never experience what the psalmist here is experiencing. I know I haven't. But what we can do is we can look at his testimony as an example for how we can deal with our own struggles. And this leads me to my first point, which is, it's okay to struggle. Now, looking through the Psalms, Psalm 119 here, I noticed a lot of different things. But one thing that really stuck out to me as I thought about it, prayed about it, was that the psalmist, he's being very real. He's not hiding anything. In fact, if we look back in the Psalms at verse 83, he says, for I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have a wineskin. So that was a little confusing to me. I didn't know exactly what that meant. So I did a little bit of research, which means a Google search. And I found out that apparently back in ancient times, what people do, of course, they'd keep wine in their wineskin. And before they drank it, they would hang it in the hot smoke of a fire to mature it so that it tasted better. Now, not only, and what this seemed to signify to me is that not only did the psalmist feel like he had a cloud over his head, he felt like he was burning an ashy cloud of smoke. Now, why is this significant? Why is it significant that the psalmist is being real? Well, growing up in the church, I always felt like I had to be okay. Whether I felt like it or not, I felt like I had to put on the appearance that I was okay. I felt like if I'm not okay, that must mean there's something wrong with me as a Christian, right? You know, if God's with me, if God's in me, why would I not feel okay? However, we see that the psalmist, as a godly man, he is clearly contradicting this. We see a godly man struggling and being honest about that struggle. Now, this spoke to me in two different ways. I want to share that with you. The first way is that there's nothing wrong with me as a Christian when I struggle. And let me say that again. There is nothing wrong with you, with all of you as a Christian, when you struggle. The second thing it spoke to me was that I'm not alone. There are other Christians who are also in the same spot I am when I feel like I have a cloud over my head. And it gave me a great sense of relief that I wasn't abnormal. And moving forward, I want to ask, what are the implications of what the psalmist is doing here? Well, not only is he reaching out to God, but he wrote this for countless people to not only read, but to sing. So what that spoke to me was, instead of hiding how I'm doing, I want to be bolder to step out and tell people in my community how I'm doing. And I want to encourage you guys to do that as well. I want to encourage you to reach out to your community. In Romans 12:15, Paul says, speaking to the Christian church, he said, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." Does that remind you a little bit of Kurt's sermon? I know it reminded me of what he said a few weeks ago, so thank you, Kurt. Where's Kurt? Ah, there you are. Thank you, Kurt. So this message is as much for me as it is for you. When I struggle, I really didn't feel comfortable sharing it with my church. To be fully honest, I kind of felt like it would ruin my image as a godly young man in this church. But in the last few weeks, as we've seen members share the struggles they've been going through, have we thought any less of them? Have we thought any less of them? That is a question. And as Pastor Bobby has shared his personal history, Rick shared his testimony last week, and as others have been willing to step forward and share and be vulnerable, what do? We end up loving them more for what they do, for their boldness. And sometimes that's really what it takes. It takes boldness to step out and confess where you are. But if we don't, no one will know that you're struggling, and no one will be able to come beside you and share your burdens and pray for you. So, coming back to my main point, it's okay to struggle. It is okay, but don't just stay there. Be bold. Reach out to your community. And as you start doing that, I think you'll notice that the cloud above your head and the world down below looks a little less murky. Now, when we struggle, we often tend to ask questions. Struggles and questions often go together. We ask, why? God, why are you allowing this to happen? And this leads me into my second point, which is, it's okay to question. It is okay to question. So, looking back at the text, one of the other things that stuck out to me was that the psalmist questions God three times. And if you'd actually look at the text with me, you'd see in verse number 82, he asks, "When will you comfort me?" And in verse 84, he says, How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? And those are excellent questions, and I'm sure we've asked similar questions when we've gone through struggles. You know, I'm not feeling comforted, God. When will I feel better? How long is this going to go on for? And if there are people coming against you and perhaps sinning against you and causing you trouble, you may ask, God, when will you bring justice? When will you rescue me from these people? Now, these questions stand out because they have nice big question marks behind them. They're very bold. But what doesn't stand out as much, what's a little less noticeable, is that the psalmist affirms his faith four times versus the three times that he questions. And back again, looking at the text, we see in verse 81, he says, I hope in your word. Verse 83, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. Verse 86, all your commandments are sure. And in verse 87, but I have not forgotten your precepts. So, I'm going to ask it again. Why is this significant? Well, even though biblical scholars cannot agree on who wrote the psalm, they do agree, as Pastor Bobby already mentioned, that it was written over a lifetime. Now, what that tells me is that this was deliberate, right? He started writing Psalm 119 as a young man and finished it as an old man. And each one of these along the way, it's a work of poetry. He didn't just sit down and scribble out some notes about how he was feeling and say, okay, you guys, go sing this now. You know, read it. It's deliberate. So, leading back to my main point, it's okay to question. The psalmist here is setting a biblical precedent for asking God questions, but, and this is very important, at the same time, also affirming his belief in God. Now, I thought to myself, what would happen if I imitated the psalmist's method for dealing with his struggles? How would that change my life? How would that change how I feel? And Pastor Bobby likes to say that God teaches us in the week before the sermon what we're going to be preaching. And I can really attest that is true. That is very true. God gave me plenty of opportunities to practice what I'm preaching today. Because as soon as I started working on this sermon, I knew it was going to be hard, but I had no idea the amount of doubt that would just hit me in the side, the amount of anxiety, fear, voice telling me, you can't do it, William. What are you doing? You know, you're crazy. You can't preach a sermon. Now, each time that doubt hit, though, I tried doing something like this. I would ask a question. I would find the root of my fear and ask it, say, God, how are you going to work this out? How am I going to do this? I don't know, but I know you will work it out. And I'd also like to give Rick a huge thanks for his sermon last week, because that was also a major help. Because what he did was he gave us a phrase, and each time in my mind I thought, I can't do this. The phrase he had instantly jumped into my mind is, I can't, but he can, so I will. And it's amazing how that worked out, because each time that phrase came into my mind, each time the word I can't came into my mind, the phrase popped into my head, and it encouraged me and helped me feel a good bit better. So, coming back to the point a little bit, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now, it is powerful when we acknowledge God in both our doubts and our beliefs, because that's what you're doing. When you're questioning and you're affirming, you are acknowledging God in your ways, and God promises to make your paths straight. Now, I'd also like to share two more verses with you that really help me affirm God's promise. The first is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, think about that for a second. Just marinate in that, if you will. God has literally promised that he will never tempt you in a way that you cannot handle. So just If you're struggling, hang on to that. Think about that and speak that truth out. Also, another the second verse I'd like to share is Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So next time that you ask why, we can affirm that God's going to work it out for good. Circling back to my main point, it's okay to question. It is okay to question. But don't just question. Affirm your beliefs in God's promises, and you'll find that underneath the cloud, it's a little less murky. Now, I've talked a lot about the cloud. I've mentioned suns above, and the sun, in my mind, represents God. And that, to me, says that there is still hope. There is a hope behind the cloud, which leads me to my third point, which is, it's okay, because we have hope. One of the things I love about this psalm is, he ends it on a positive note, looking to God for life. Now, go ahead and look with me back at Psalm 119, and I'm going to read verse 88. It says, "In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth." And I absolutely love that, because in my mind, when I hear him say, "In your steadfast love, give me life," in my mind, I jump forward through the scripture to Jesus. He's looking forward to salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, if you don't know, we as a church like to make a big deal about this Jesus fellow. We believe that 2,000 years ago, God became man and lived a perfect life. He lived the life we couldn't live and died the death we deserved so that we can now have eternal life with that loving God. And this may have come last, but this is really the most important point in my whole sermon. If you guys forget everything else I've ever said, take this home with you. We now have a relationship with the Creator of all, who loved us enough to send his son to die for us. So, talking again about that cloud and how to deal with it, I want to say, talking about the cloud and how to deal with it is very important, but get this. John said of Jesus in John 1:9, he says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And in John 1:5, he also says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Have any of you ever woken up in the morning to a ho-hum, cloudy day? You've gotten out of bed, gone to work, come home, and throughout that entire day, you never saw the sun. Just dark, dreary the entire day. Now, I know you guys have experienced that. We just had like a month and a half of cloud and dreary. But what I want to ask you guys is, has anyone experienced a day like that? Except at the very end of it, you're sitting at the table, you're eating dinner, and suddenly you see a beautiful, glorious sunset peeking from beneath the clouds. This is the hope that we as Christians have. Everyone deals with clouds in their lives, but we as Christians have the light of Christ to give us hope. So, to conclude, it's okay. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to question. And it's okay because we have hope in Jesus Christ. Please join me in some prayer as we finish up. Lord, thank you so much for seeing me through this, God. What a blessing. What a blessing to do my best to speak your word and let you work through us as a church, God. Pray that you bless the rest of the worship. Thank you, God, for the worship team, their willingness to step out and give their time and serve. Lord, please bless the rest of our day. God, be with us, and I pray that we would think about you, think about Jesus, and think about the hope that we have in you. Pray these things in your name. Amen.